Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening. New research from University College London has suggested that parents in unhappy relationships should not stay together for the sake of the kids. Divorce is actually and can be actually less harmful to children the earlier that it happens. So if you are going to split up, is there an ideal time to do so? And what impact does divorce actually have on your children? To discuss this, I'm joined on the line now by clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ciara, once again. Nice to talk to you.
You too. First of all, can you break this down for us a little bit? Because it is very interesting. I think it is a really, okay, probably a universal phenomenon, but a particularly Irish phenomenon that people do stay together, for the sake of the kids.
Yes, and I think people do sincerely, I think out of, for all the right reasons, they stay together because they believe it is good for children. They believe that it continues stability, both in the home and emotional stability for them and no disruption. And I mean, I think we've all very much sort of supported that view for a very long time. I would have my own views, which perhaps we can chat through later, but yeah, let's just talk about the study. What the study is really showing in simple terms is that children between the age of 7 and 14, when this research shows that they are much more, if there's a divorce at that time, they are much more likely to have problems when compared against children of 7 to 14 who didn't have, let's say, didn't have any divorce around
okay
them.
So under 7 and over 14 are less impacted, is that what we're saying? But 7 to 14 is the danger zone?
3 to 7, there was no difference shown between children who, if your parents divorced and the child was 3 to 7, there was absolutely no difference in terms of emotional impact, in terms of bad behaviour or emotional mood issues with when compared with children who had stable marriages
around them. So for parents maybe who are racked with guilt because they separated when their child was 3 or 4 or whatever, don't worry too much about that because
don't
your child
worry,
is
exactly
almost insulated from this because youth was on their side.
Well, youth was on their side. There's a number of reasons why you could that you could put forward. I mean, when a child is young, very young, their world is small. And and their concerns are small. And in many ways, if stability is there in terms of who brings me to school and back again, they're kind of okay. And that appears to be borne out. And that would be thoughts that clinical people would have had along the way. Whereas 7 to 14-year-olds, if you think about it, they're much more aware of relationships. They're much more aware of the nuance of social situations. They pick up tension in a different kind of way. They're also moving into their sexual selves. So they have that issue to deal with as well. So they begin to realise, oh, mum doesn't love dad anymore, dad doesn't love mum anymore, and what does that mean? They don't sleep together anymore. The whole sexual thing comes into view.
Okay.
That's much more disruptive
for
them.
So 3 to 7, not a bother, so don't worry too much. But 7 to 14, it starts to become an issue. What happens with the older teens? You know, the ones who are now over 14, you're doing your junior cert, you're leaving cert, you're in college, what have you. Those kinds of ages.
Well, I think this study doesn't specifically refer to them, I have to say. There's absolutely nothing on that, but it is very well known that, because this was specifically around children, it is well understood that it is disruption, you know, the emotional disruption, the disruption to school, the disruption to friendships, that is what causes the big problems and not knowing what's going to happen next. And I think when children are older, like say, take it from over 14, what you're dealing with then is really this whole thing that the child has to, they really understand the gravity of what is going on. There are new relationships that are being established.
The blended families and all that,
Yes, and interestingly, I've met a number of people, you know, who at 18, at 25, parents have divorced. And, you know, it's not always that the child is sorry, the adult child is sorry that it happens. Very often, that adult child will say, well, I always knew they were unhappy. I'm just so sorry they didn't do it before now. So it can go, you know, it's not, you might do it or the adult may do it for the right reason, staying together, but actually you're also depriving, although you're doing it to try and provide stability, you're also depriving the child of seeing a happy home, of seeing a happy relationship. And that is something that people can get, and children do get out of new, you know, when divorce happens and parents become happy again, instead of having two miserable parents, they end up with two happy parents.
Yeah.
And perhaps even to be part of two happy households.
You did say you had your own thoughts on all of this. Do you take some of this with a pinch of salt? I mean, Steve has texted and he said, my parents separated when I was 4. It did affect me greatly until I was in my mid-20s. Maybe it just doesn't manifest in children at that age, but the effects are there and they are seen maybe down the line. If you were just taking off the study for a moment.
There's always exceptions, Ciara, but the research is a broad spectrum. That is a broad spectrum research, and I wouldn't throw it out. It's 6,000 children. That's a very good study.
It's big. But tell us this. So in a nutshell, if you could,
yes.
Is staying together for the sake of the children and muddling along, perhaps not living your best life or whatever, but nonetheless trying to provide some kind of stability, is that, do we think, better or worse for the children, A? And B, if you're deciding I can't do it anymore, we have to split, is there a golden age to do so? Is there a time when you would say, look, I'll wait until this age, it'll be a tiny bit better?
Yeah, I don't think there's two things. I believe in marriage, and I believe in working at marriage and working at relationships. I believe in doing it not only for the children, I believe in doing it for the couple who have committed to each other. And there's a lot of things one can do to work through all the issues that can come up in marriages. But I think if a marriage has broken down, and if the connection and the trust and the love and the hope for the future together is broken, you know, for some reason irreconcilably, I don't believe in staying together for anybody's sake. I believe that people should live healthy lives, and I think if parents are healthy, the children will be healthy. So I would have that strong view about it. In terms of the golden years, if you like to do it, I think we're getting a very clear signal there, something I would have been aware of myself as a clinician. The earlier in the child's life, the less damaging and the less disruptive. But it doesn't always have to be disruptive. It doesn't always have to be damaging. If parents stay parents and don't give out about each other and don't fight in front of the children and keep stability, that will protect your child from all of the emotional fallout. And if I can mention Peter Andre, who people wouldn't see as always a rock of sense.
This is, he went out with Jordan, the yes. model. Yes.
And he was on the late night the other night. And I just thought, wow, he was asked about, you know, sort of what about Jordan and Katie Price, as she was sort of better known now. And he just declined to speak about her in the nicest way. And I just thought, isn't that what we need? People don't talk your partner down just because you've fallen out of love with them, or they've hurt you, or they've let you down,
yeah.
or you, them, or whatever. Because this is the mother of your child, or the father of your child.
And I imagine that makes it a lot easier for their kids.
Is the key, Ciara.
And it's nice. And he always seems like a nice enough fella, in fairness
to him. And what a parent.
But here's the thing. Supposing, right, you've missed, yes. your children are over 7 and you're sitting at home and you're sitting in the car and you're listening to this now and you're going, well, mine are over 7 and my marriage is in tatters and I don't know what to do. Is there anything to be said for hanging on in those circumstances for a bit longer until a certain age, or is it better if things are toxic at home to split and try and do it well?
Things are toxic at home. You have to deal with that problem. Your child is soaking all of that in. Don't think that just because you're hiding it, they can't pick it up. Kids are extremely perceptive and they will know that you're unhappy. They know the difference in the mood when the dad comes in or when you come in or when you're together. They know. So don't think you're hiding it all from them. But the one thing I would say to people before divorce, first of all, everybody should have some kind of counselling, some kind of mediation to prepare you for that end so that you can do that end properly, because you are going to be parents forever. You're going to be at those weddings. You're going to be at those 21sts. And you need to learn to be civil together, to respect each other, and to let go what couldn't be fixed.
Yeah.
And to do it in a really positive and healthy way. And it's very, very possible.
Stay with me a second, Stephanie, because one of our listeners, Niamh, is on the line. Niamh, what would you like to say about all of this? Whether you know, divorce, staying together for the kids, the age of the kids. What's your take on it?
Hi, Ciara. Well, I was 12, actually, when my parents split up, but they only split up for about 3 weeks.
Oh, right. A short little thing.
A short time. My father had started seeing somebody else.
Okay.
And after the 3 weeks, he moved back and he said that he decided it would be better to stay for the sake of the kids.
Yeah.
And he was going to stay until my youngest sister finished college. And she
right.
was eight. She was eight at the time.
So another 12 years odd, probably.
Yes, and he did. But nothing was really spoken about at home. My mother was expected to put up with this and, you know, the Sunday lunch on the table and we all played Happy Families. But it was horrendous. It really was. Like, there was... It was because, I suppose, we were brought up thinking that this was acceptable.
Okay. And so you kind of... I don't want to pry into your private life, Niamh, but you were only young and you kind of knew this. You kind of knew your dad was there sort of on sufferance in a way.
Yes.
Doing a duty but not wanting to be somewhere else, maybe. Did it upset you greatly?
It did, actually, yeah. It did have a huge effect, and it still does, to be honest. He's actually now with somebody else since.
Somebody else altogether? Not the first lady?
Oh, no.
Okay. And what, as the adult child of that family, what did you learn from it, or what did you take from it? Would you say, looking back, that you would have rather that a clean break and him go off and find his own happiness and your mam find her own happiness?
Yes.
Rather than some, I don't know, would you say hypocritical thing? I don't even know if that's the right word. I'm not sure what the word should be.
Well, I think as children growing up, you know, there were four girls in the family and we grew up thinking that this was acceptable for the husband to live one life and the mother, the wife, to put up with it all, and that she, you know, she couldn't speak her mind, saying that she didn't like this, and she was very strong, but he kind of gave us this impression that this was acceptable for a man to live like this, and the woman was supposed to take it. So growing up...
So there was a massive power imbalance there, wasn't it? Your dad was there. I'm here on my terms. I'm not really happy about it, but sure, I'll put up with it. Great fella that I am, kind of thing.
Great, yeah, doing this for the kids.
Yeah.
So the arguments continued. There was a lot of secret phone calls. And he was going to counselling. My mother never did. And he never agreed to go together. He always went...
So he never moved back into the family home to make a go of it with your mum. He only moved back. So there was never any kind of reconciliation. It was more like sufferance sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Can I ask you one last question? Just, and again, it's not because I want to pry, but I just think that's a very interesting insight you have. Your own relationships now going forward, did you have to do things different in spite of that, or did you find yourself doing things because of that?
Well, I suppose it was a learned behaviour, really.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into detail too much about my own relationship, but it certainly did and continues to affect me now, how I would perceive marriage.
Yeah. Are you a small bit cynical about it?
About marriage? Well, I mean... It's definitely worth making a go of it and trying to work through the difficulties.
Yeah, okay.
If you can't work through it, then I think it's better for the kids if, as you say, you know, the two parents split and have a happier life, and then the kids can see that, you know, not everything does work out like a fairy tale.
Yeah, look, thank you so much, Niamh, for coming and giving us that personal take on it that I think sheds a great deal of humanity on the situation for kids. Stephanie, what do you think of that? That idea that the dad took off with a woman and then said, no, do you know what? And maybe for all we know, the woman didn't work out, but said, no, I'll come back and put up with this less than satisfactory arrangement for the kids. And everyone kind of knew he thought he should be somewhere else. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, what I think of, first of all, I think, you know, I really was interested in the way Niamh put it, that it was the learned behaviours. It was, you know, there was a certain logic in coming back and trying to establish normality for the children. But you see what happens. You know, what happens is there is Niamh. She has, you know, she had to absorb all this, all of these years. And she's telling the story that it wasn't a happy place. It wasn't a happy home. It sounds also like there wasn't two happy adults in it.
No.
And you just have to say, what was all that for? And then you have this difficulty, and I'm not saying this is Niamh's difficulty, so just generalising it out. Then you have children coming out of a situation like that who have not had the model of a couple coming in the evening with a kiss on the cheek and saying, listen, what's for dinner? You're looking great. Or, you know, telling a joke, or wait till I tell you. You know, getting the normal banter of relationships. and the ups and downs, and the parents going out and having fun and coming back and seeing them giddy, and seeing that this is the fun that is in marriage and in relationships. And so the modelling is so, you know, they don't get that good model.
Yeah.
And I've talked to, you know, to people who've left children whose parents have separated, and where those parents have married again or, you know, settled again. And they say, you know, I got a chance to see, you know, a good relationship, and they really value that.
Yeah,
particularly
and
going
you
into
could
their
hear
own
that in what Niamh was saying there. And I think it was clearly that she was saying my mother was expected to put up with this. And I don't want to personalise it either.
Yes.
But that was a sort of a, I'll come back on my terms for the next 12 years and you'll just go along with that. It must have been terribly undermining to the confidence of that woman that we
of
spoke
course.
To, her mother. That must
and
have been very, very hard. Dahi has texted, he said, if this is true about divorce being better, doesn't it mean that our 4-year clause could be detrimental to children because the parents can't get out? Yeah, that may be the case. Somebody else says, my parents definitely stayed together for us and it has impacted on me and my siblings' relationships as adults. What we learned about love wasn't happy love. And that's what you're saying, Stephanie. They had nothing to model it on. Somebody says, really interesting study. I know lots of people who have young kids and have split. They're much happier apart. This research will cheer them all up. Someone else says, my parents stayed together but separately in the house. It seemed to be for appearances publicly rather than for us, and we wish that they hadn't. Someone else says, we stayed unhappily together for the kids. I hope we didn't do the wrong thing. They're adults now and we are all close. Both me and my ex have met people. It's all worked out. Look, you can only do what you can do. It's very tricky for people.
And there are always exceptions, Ciara,
absolutely.
As you know.
Absolutely.
This is research. This is broad spectrum.
Yeah.
We're talking the averages here. It doesn't mean that you won't do it wrong or you won't do it right at different ages. But it's a good guide, and a good guide for policymakers.
Yeah, and indeed, maybe we'll give some heart to people who have separated and maybe are racked with guilt. Somebody says, I left when one of my children was 13 and one was 6. My teenage daughter was by far the more affected one. And that's from Leslie, but I don't know if that's a Leslie boy or girl. Leslie, I don't know if that's a mum or a dad. Someone else says, better to have ending with pain than pain without ending. That sounds like a metaphor for Brexit, but I think they're talking about this.
A good metaphor for this too, I think. Yeah,
and somebody else says, hi Ciara, I've always believed that two happy parents living apart is a better situation for children than unhappy parents living together. My marriage ended over 20 years ago, thankfully, amicably, when my children were almost 21 and 17. My grandchildren, this is a nice kind of one actually, now have three sets of adoring grandparents, and we all get on really well together when we meet up for family occasions. I realise that we are very lucky and it isn't always that way. So I guess that's the other side of the family. And then the two partners who split obviously went on and had other partners, so that works well. If you were advising somebody who's sitting there and thinking about splitting, is there a right road, a right first step to take on the road, Stephanie?
Yes, well, I think the right road is, first of all, get somebody you can speak to yourself, to get your thoughts straight, give a good, you know, where possible, it takes two to do any therapy together, but I do think that all marriages deserve that opportunity to sit down and to try and work out what the problems are, give it a good shot. You have to really, I think in your heart, you have to know that you have given this your very best effort. And I think that applies for both parties. But what I think that also those sessions can help people to do, if the end is the end, then you are preparing for that end.
Yeah.
Don't just do it in a snap.
A bit of preparation probably makes it better for everybody involved. Lots of people talking about rainbows. Rainbows run programs, peer counselling for children
for
5 to 12. Absolutely
excellent
for those with separated parents or indeed bereaved children as well. And maybe take one last call on this because it's a really interesting topic. Jane is on the line. Jane, what are your thoughts around this divorce versus, I suppose, staying together for the sake of the kids?
Yeah, hi, Ciara. Well, I think, certainly in my case, I'm very happy I got divorced. My ex was a bully, and I was living in a... I was really stressed about, you know, when I had my small children. My children were only 6 and 4 when I separated.
Okay.
And when I talk to them now, I mean, you know, they're now in their 20s.
That's long
ago.
They
say, Mom, we're so pleased that you left.
Yeah.
They could see the stress I was under, and they, you know, children pick up on all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know what your previous callers have said, because I just come in on the conversation. But I do think it, for me and for my children, it was much, much healthier to be divorced.
Yeah. Well, you know, I imagine very much it is different strokes for different folks and families.
Yeah.
But your kids, and they're in their 20s now, and are they happy out and they're well-rounded individual types?
They're well-rounded individuals. Good. I brought them up. I was a single mum. They talk to their dad. That's, you know, that seems to be okay. I mean, you know, they don't hate him, or they don't, you know, they have quite a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
But I know in my situation, I've gone on to thrive, and I've tried not to badmouth their father ever, though sometimes it's difficult.
Okay.
But I would highly recommend, you know, if there is a stressful situation, get out of it.
Yeah. Look, fair play to you. Thank you for coming on and talking to me, Jane. Someone says, with regards to separation and divorce, my son cried every night for nearly a year because his dad had left. His dad never had to check in and ride with the Department of Social Protection to say he'd left. Instead, I had to prove he had left me, which is a doubly degrading situation when somebody leaves. That's my opinion of the system. It's all wrong. That sounds like a very painful separation there. I'm sorry to hear that, Katrina. And maybe last text on this. I don't know if this is a joke or not a joke, but it says, hi, Kira. I live in rural Wicklow and my neighbours got divorced recently. He is 97 and she is 95. I asked them, why did you wait so long to get divorced? And they said, we wanted to wait until the kids were dead. That's shocking. I don't know if it's a joke, Jamie, but thank you for that. And thank you indeed to Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, for all her good advice as usual.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc, your online healthcare provider. See a doctor, therapist, or physio now on our app or at videodoc.ie.